my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bible to Jeremiah 17. You know, people say things like, oh, he just got that from the world. How many of you know that the world got everything they have from the word? Everything. You know, when I was in the military many years ago, I can say that now, many years ago, I was big on drilling ceremonies. And they told me that this guy by the name of Von Steuben wrote FM 22-6 for drilling ceremony. How many of you know I beg to differ? Drilling ceremony was written in the word way before Von Steuben's job was born. Even, isn't it amazing how people try to take something from the word to make it their own? Amen. They say somebody invented light. How many of you know God invented light? He said, let there be what? Light. And there it was. Always trying to take credit for what God always do. And trying to pin it on some man. Amen. They say Christopher Columbus discovered America. He ain't discovered no America. God discovered America. He said, let there be. And there it is. Hey, man, you better get that history straight. The next time you go, look, the next time you take a test in school and your question is, who discovered America? And you put Christopher Columbus and they count it right, you better tell that teacher that's wrong. Don't be worried about making no A. You tell them, that's not right. God created America. Are y'all still with me? Amen. That song fired me up. There's no God like Jesus. Amen. Don't you know that's the original version is an African version sung in African words. And Nene took that song and translated it into English. Good God Almighty. So you could understand. People be singing. They don't even know what they're singing. Kungaka, kungaka. Amen, amen, amen. They're just singing the song. But when you translate it into what you can understand, now you get the real meaning. I searched all over, I looked all over, couldn't find nobody like him. Amen. And then it makes you get you motivated to go back to the, there's no one like good. Amen, amen, amen. Are you at Jeremiah chapter 7? Verse number 7, very familiar to y'all. I used this scripture, I think, in another message some time ago. The Bible says in verse 7, blessed. Chapter 17? What did I say? Seven who? Chapter 17, verse 7. For a minute, I thought y'all was talking about y'all want a 7-up drink or something like that. Amen. Verse 7 say, blessed is the man that trusts in who? Do y'all see that? It said, blessed is the man that trusts in who? And whose confidence or hope, whose confidence the Lord is, or whose confidence is in the Lord. The Bible says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he come, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Do you all see that? Amen. Talking about trusting in the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 17, when we read the chapter, we will see the advantages of trusting in God and the disadvantages of not trusting in God. Okay? We will see the advantages of trusting in God and the disadvantages of not trusting in God. And to trust God means that whatever situation unfavorable situation or circumstance that I find myself in, it does not matter what it is, I must have no doubt that God will deliver me. Listen, it doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It does not matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what they said or how they said it. Or listen, it doesn't matter who said it, okay? I must not have any doubt in my, not mind, because the mind plays tricks on you, in my heart that God will deliver me. That's trust. See, a lot of people say they trust in the Lord, but then they start worrying about things. But if I really trust in the Lord, like I say that I do, it doesn't matter what comes my way, I must not have any doubt. Somebody say any doubt. Any doubt in my heart that God will deliver me. Because doubt is a trust killer. Doubt is a trust killer. It will kill a person's trust every time. It is a major spiritual disease for a Christian. It's a major disease. It's a major spiritual disease for a Christian, and it will tear us down. Are you all still with me? Doubt affects a person's belief system, okay? It will affect our belief system, and when we doubt what we are doing, we are allowing Satan to come into our life and have a party. Not just any kind of party, but he is helping us to have a pity party. Are y'all still with me? We cannot afford to let him in, and we let him in when we doubt God's word. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And when we doubt God's word, because Satan comes into our life and starts telling us lies, we will miss out on many blessings. Are y'all still with me this morning? We will miss out on many blessings. So doubt is one of the biggest diseases that a Christian can have. Because doubt tells us that God cannot deliver me. And a lot of people have not been delivered. Why? Because they don't believe that God can deliver me. So regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances, I must continue to trust in God. I know over the years, I know in churches, maybe even here, we've had a many messages about trust the Lord all out heartily, not till I don't understand it, I got it. But Christians, it is very vital for us, even more so today, that we continue to trust in God. I remember Tyrone sung a song not too long ago. I will trust in you always, O Ancient of Days. Amen. We have to put our trust in God because doubt is a spiritual disease and it is a trust killer. I must know, listen, I must know, not think. I must know that God is a big God and no situation that I find myself in is bigger than God. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter how it makes you feel. No situation is bigger than God. You might be broke with no money. That situation is not bigger than God. You may be having some tough difficulties in your family. Your family situation is not bigger than God. You may say things like, well, I've tried to work this thing out and it's not going to work. The problem is that right there, you tried. You didn't give it to God. That's why the Bible tells us to cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. Are y'all still with me? So I cannot live this life in this world not trusting in God in every area of my life. Are y'all still with me this morning? As long as we trust in the Lord, we will always, somebody say always. Joseph, what do always mean? We will always come out on top of our situation. Doesn't matter what it is. As long as I trust in God. Because really, Christians, if we really, really trust in God, we will not have much time to focus on the situation. I mentioned, I believe it was Wednesday night when we was talking about the mountain be thou removed and cast into the sea. I will be able to look past my situation and what God is going to do about it if I really trust him. Are y'all still with me? There is no situation too big to God. Good things happen to us when we put our total trust in God. Good things happen. Let's go back to Jeremiah 17. Good things happen. Look at verse number 8 again. Verse 7 says, for the man who trusts in God and his confidence, I will remain confident in this, I will see the goodness of the Lord. He says, these things happen. He says in verse 8, for he shall be as a what? Tree planted by the water. He shall be as a tree. Listen, he didn't say we were a tree. He said, we will be as a tree planted by the water. Notice what the Bible did not say. Notice it did not say that we will be as a tree planted in the desert, the desolate place. It said, we shall be as a tree planted by the water. How many of you know water, I mean plants need water to make oxygen? Did y'all know that? Plants need water to make oxygen. And how many of you know we breathe in what? Oxygen. So oxygen gives us what? Life. So if I am as a tree planted by the water, that means I am alive. I have everlasting life. Not just any kind of life, but abundant life. Now, this is because I trust in God. Notice the Bible didn't automatically say I'm like a tree planted by the water. It says, if I trust in God, I am as a tree planted by the water. Are you all still with me? Look at this. The Bible says, by a tree planted by the water, and that spreadeth out her what? Roots by the river. Notice the Bible says that it spread out is what? It spreads out is what? So if it spreads out its roots, that means that growth is taking place. Not just any old kind of growth, but spiritual growth. And listen, if it's spreading out its roots, that means that it's overtaking more territory. In other words, my territory is being enlarged because I trust in who? God. See, I remember several years ago, there was a big thing where people was talking about this guy named Jabez. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, people was talking about how he prayed to God and asked God to bless him. And then he asked God to enlarge his what? Territory. And the Bible said God answered his what? Request. How many of you know when you trust in the Lord, you are setting yourself up to have your territory enlarged? In other words, Satan tried to get you in a corner. See, he wanted to get you in that little place, make you feel like you're all alone. But no, when we trust in God, we get a chance to enlarge our territory. And how many of you know the larger your territory is, the more Satan has to move out back out of your way? Good God Almighty, if we just take time to just look at the word and just to simplify. You know, we try to read the whole Bible in one day. You can't do that. Take a part at a time. It says, spread out her roots by the river and shall not see when he cometh. I like the way King James say it. NIV say it. NIV say, you won't see when fear comes. Are y'all still with me? If I trust in God, I will not even see when Satan turned up the heat, because I trust in God. Are y'all still with me? See, when change comes, some people call it the new norm. When change comes, I won't even pay much attention to it. Why? Because of God. My faith is in Him. My trust is in Him. Are y'all still with me? It says, but her leaf shall be what? What color? What color? How many of you know a green leaf means that that leaf is alive? And the reason why it's alive is because it is connected to the tree that's by the water. It's still connected. If you notice when you walk around, you see a leaf on the ground, it may look green. The next day you see it, it might look brown and green. The next day you see it, it's going to be brown. And the next day you can step on it, it's going to crumble up because it has no life. But if I keep a trust in God, my leaf will always be green. In other words, I will always be healthy spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. Why? Because I realize that God is a big God and there's nothing bigger than God. Are y'all still with me? Always a green leaf. Always green. If I keep my trust in God. But if I don't keep my trust in God, my leaf might turn brown. And then somebody may come by and step on it. But how many of you know as long as it's connected to the tree? Well, let me just say it this way. I've never seen anybody climb a tree and step on a leaf. Most of the time, people step on a tree because it falls to the ground. And that is the position that Satan tried to get us in. He wants us to fall away from the true vine. John chapter 5 or 15. He wants to fall away from the true ground because he knows if we disconnect ourselves from God, we will start to doubt God's word. And when we fall on the ground, he can come right by and step on us. Instead of us being under his feet, the Bible says he should be under our feet. But the only way he's going to be on our feet is we must put our total trust in God. Are y'all still with me? I mean, there are several, the Bible gives us several advantages here of what happens when we trust in God. Look at what else it says. It says, our leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. In other words, should not worry about anything. We should not worry when the gas prices go up. We should not worry when people who call themselves Christians get worried and go to the store and gouge all the toilet paper. Because the Bible says that my God shall supply all my need. And I don't care how much the stores went out, somehow it's going to be provided to me. Why? Because all good things come from where? Above. I can't worry about this stuff. Oh, this not going to, they're not going to do this no more. So, I always shop at this store, they're closing down. So, God is who? Still God. I like to always say Jesus is still on the throne. You know, when my wife and I was getting ready to get married, you know, there was a problem with the dresses coming. She'll tell you. The dresses were late on the wedding day. And, you know, the women had her in one room, and, of course, I was in one room, you know, with the guys. And, you know, I understand they were a little concerned about the dresses. And I told her brother or somebody, I don't remember. She know because she don't forget anything. I forget. I said, tell her that I said that Jesus is still Lord. Now, she don't think she wanted to hear that at that time, but that's what I told her to tell her. I mean, I couldn't make dresses with me. What else am I supposed to say? What I'm trying to get you to see, Christians, is that there is nothing too big for God. You know, Jordan sometimes, she sings this song, Big. My God is big, so strong and mighty. My God's plans for me goes beyond my wildest dreams. We serve a big God. There's nothing too hard for God. And listen, if something else happened again and people start running to the store buying all the toilet paper, God will still provide for us. As long as we put our trust in Him. How many of you know, we Christians, we talk a lot about faith. But if you want to know where your faith level is, wait till the trials and tribulations come. Because the trial and tribulations will either do one of two things. It will let you know that you're faithful, you stand on the side of the rock, or it will let you know that you got some more work to do in the faith area. People always say, I got faith. But as soon as Satan dropped the bomb, you find out where your faith level is at. Yeah, that's true. You find out where it's at. You start talking like man talk instead of like God talk. I just don't know how I'm going to make it. Well, you're not going to make it because you just said you don't know how. But all things are possible to those who believe. That's why we can't afford to let doubt sit in, because doubt will sit in. I mean, doubt will sit in like you come into church and sit in a chair in your life. It will take a chair and watch your TV. It's a disease. It's a Christian disease, and a lot of Christians have that disease, and because of that disease, they are not receiving God's best for their life. Why? Because they doubt Him. Are y'all still with me? Look at this. And then the Bible says here, leaves shall be green, and you don't have to worry about the drought. Neither shall you cease from doing what? Yielding fruit. Look at that. When no one else have any, you have plenty. Look at what the Bible says. He said, you a tree planted by the waters. The leaves continue to grow on that tree regardless of what's going on. When no one else have any, you have plenty. Because you trust God. Do you understand? Do you see the advantages of trusting God? It's not just something to say, I trust the Lord. No. There are advantages. The Bible says you are the lender and not the borrower. People say, you're not supposed to borrow. No, that's not what the scripture says. It didn't say you're not supposed to borrow. If people can't borrow, how are you going to be a lender? See, that's a bad teaching. We're not supposed to borrow. Well, where do you get that from? How can I be a lender if there's no such thing as a borrower? But what the Bible is saying here, once again, look at what it says. It says that you shall cease from yielding fruit. In other words, you will continue to receive exceedingly and abundantly above that you can ask or think. In other words, you will receive so much you can continue to be a blessing by blessing other people. Why? If you trust in God. I'm going to tell you, this word is true. I can do what it says I can do. I mean, no one else have it. And they're asking you, how is it that you're getting, God must love you more than he love me. No. God love us the same. He loved the sinner and the saint. He just don't like sin. The difference is one that put their trust in God and the one who put their trust in themselves or in man. That's a big mistake. I mean, people would rather put their trust in man and in themselves than to put their trust in God. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, I think it's in Proverbs. It says anyone who put trust in themselves is a fool. Why would I put trust in myself when I can put it in God? See, once again, there are advantages, all because of trusting God. And how many of you know that if there are advantages of putting trust in God, there are disadvantages of not putting trust in God? There are disadvantages of putting trust in man and putting trust in yourself. Well, Pastor, what are the disadvantages? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse number 5. Same chapter. Verse 5. I'm here to tell you, man, when you put yourself in yourself, it's like you're headed for disaster. Look at verse 5. It says, thus said the Lord. Said who? Notice Ron didn't say that. Notice the Lord said it. It says, cursed be the man that trusts in who? Man. Now, God didn't say he's cursing you. He just said you cursed. Cursed be the man that trusts in man and make flesh his arm and whose heart, departed from the Lord. How does a person's heart depart from the Lord? Let me tell you one of the many ways. One of the many ways that a person's heart depart from the Lord is when they doubt that God can take care of their situation. That's why Jesus said, whosoever shall believe and do not doubt in their heart, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's Mark. See? So when I doubt God, I have departed my heart from the Lord. And as a result, look at verse 6. It says, he shall be like the heath or bush in the what? Desert. Notice it didn't say water. It said a desert. And shall not see when good cometh. Well, why is it that he would not see when good cometh? Well, let me tell you why he would not see when good cometh. The reason why he would not see when good cometh is because he's too busy focusing on his problems and his situations and his circumstances. Oh me, oh my. And good is coming. We can't even see it. Because we're looking forward with our natural eye instead of the spiritual eye. Are y'all still with me? Look at what else it says. He can't see it when it comes, but shall inhabit the parched places. How many of the word parched means arid or hot places or desert places? Well, he would inherit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land where nobody lives. In other words, you're in there by yourself. You're backed up in a corner because man said he would do it. He lied to you. You said you would do it. I said I'll do it. We lied to ourselves. The only person who can do it is God. Yeah, some little simple things we can do by the grace of God. But how many of you know some things we just can't do? You know, let's just be honest with ourselves. As we live in this world, we're going to go through some situations that sometimes they're going to make us feel, you know, a little lower than a Christian. They're going to make us feel bad sometimes. But how many people want to feel that way? Nobody. But see, the thing about it is that we can't do anything about it. But God can. Because we have to remember, the word says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So when I'm weak in an area that's getting the best of me, I need to think about the joy of the Lord. See? So I have to make a decision here because the Bible just gave me some advantages and some disadvantages of trusting or not trusting. So I need to make up my mind. Do I want to be the tree like a tree planted by the water who continues to receive increase? Who continues to enlarge my territory? Or do I want to stay one who put my trust in man and myself and live in the corner the rest of my life? It's a choice. Y'all still with me? Well, it's for me and my house. We're going to trust the Lord. I would not doubt God ever. I might doubt myself. I might even doubt you. She always smiling. She, amen. Word, amen. She really be taking this word in. Amen. Not that you all don't be throwing no rocks. Amen. Early, why he say this about me? It's all right. Hey, it's all right. Amen. I'll make a choice. Y'all still with me? But Pastor, I mean, most people have seen Jeremiah chapter 17 before. And we see where the Bible says, if we trust in God, we'd be like a tree planted by the waters that spread it forth by roots, by the river, and shall not see when the heat come, and the leaves shall always be green, and shall be careful the year of the drought, neither shall cease. And we see if we put our trust in man, we're going to be hot living in the desert in the corner. So why is it then that Christians do not put their trust in God? Well, I've already told you. The reason they do not put trust in God is because of the disease called doubt. They doubt God. And the reason why they doubt God is because they look at him from a natural point of view instead of a spiritual point of view. And when we look at things from a natural point of view, we have the tendency to put limitations on it. And a lot of people, because they look at God from a natural point of view, they limit God, just like they limit the natural man. And they do not have faith enough, if you will, to trust God, because they can't do it. And because they can't do it, they don't think God can do it either. So they end up in the desert. Like the song says, on a horse with no name. They doubt it. You know, we have to understand something about God. And we know it based on scripture. But we sometimes, as Christians, we do not meditate on the word. See, sometimes in order to receive the fullness of what the word is telling us, we need to meditate on it. That's why God told Joshua, meditate day and night. He didn't say, just read it day and night, Joshua. He said, meditate. Sometimes we need to meditate. Because we know that in John chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible tells us that God is a spirit. Are you all still with me? So I need to meditate on, when I read that, I need to meditate on the spirit, the spiritual world. I need to think about this. Before I got saved, I was lost in the world, but the Holy Spirit came into my life, and now I'm changed. So there must be something about the spirit that's more powerful than the natural. Are y'all still with me? The Bible says God is a spirit. And so I have to see God as being a spirit and not a natural man. Because if I see him as being a natural man, I will limit him. But if I look at him from the spiritual point of view, then I will remember that it was he who said, let there be light. It was he that spoke the world into existence. It was he that allowed me to be in this place right now. See, that tells me that there are no limitations with God. And if I know that there are no limitations with God, then I will know that there's nothing too big for him. And I will know that there's no reason why I should doubt him, because there's nothing too big for him. But we see God as being the man. We see God as being somewhere over the rainbow. God is closer than you think. Are y'all still with me? I cannot look at him from a natural point of view. I have to look at him from a spiritual point of view. And if I look at him from a spiritual point of view, I will know that it doesn't matter what's going on in my family, God is bigger than that. I will know that it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, God is bigger than that. I will know that it doesn't matter what lie Satan tells me, God is bigger than the lie, and he's bigger than Satan. And I will know that it doesn't matter what it is. The Bible says, once again, I said this earlier, cast all your cares on me. God didn't say, cast this one on me. Cast this one. You keep that one. Get that cast, that care to worries, okay, anxiety. The word care means worries and anxieties. Give that anxiety to Elder Perlow. I can't handle that one. Or give me the other eight and give one to Elder Perlow and give the other one to his wife. No, God didn't say that. He said cast all our anxieties, worries, concerns on him. Cast them on him. You know, I've been told over the years, people used to do this. You may have seen people do this. You know, let's say, for instance, when people are into a relationship and the man says, well, I'll tell you what you need to do. Get two trash cans and put a trash can on the right and a trash can on the left. And what you want to do, you want to write down all the positives and negatives of the relationship. And once you write down a positive, put the positive in this trash can. And put the negatives in this trash can. And then when you finish, take them all out and count them. And then if the negatives are more than the positives, you need to leave that rascal. But if the positives are more than the negatives, stay with that rascal. Why go through all of that when you can just ask God? Just ask God. Put your trust in him that he will give you the right answer. Guess what? He will give us the right answer. But the problem is that when he gives us the right answer, sometimes we might not like the answer you give. You think I'm joking to ask Balaam. All right. All right. The man wanted Balaam to talk bad about Israel, the curse of Israel. Balaam said, listen, I can't do it because I got to do what God said. Let me ask God. God told him, don't do it. Balaam came back and told the man, well, God told me not to do it. The man said, well, I'll give you more money. Balaam said, well, let me go ask God again. And then the next thing you know, he's having a conversation with a donkey. Amen. I was getting ready to say something. Y'all may think I'm a pure Christian. I ain't going to say that. Amen. I'm going to drink some water, Elder Bondron, because it was getting ready to come out of my mouth. See, I don't know about the spiritual level. Somebody might not understand. They might run out, amen, amen, amen. Deal with your audience, amen. But they doubt. They view God from a natural point of view. That's why they don't trust him. In other words, they do not know who he is spiritually. They know him from a natural point of view. They do not know who he is spiritually. They do not know who Jesus is spiritually. They know he's the Son of God. They know he died on the cross. They don't know who the Holy Spirit is spiritually when he's called the Holy Spirit. And they limit God. And the reason why they do not know is because they do not spend enough time in the scriptures to find out. Notice what I didn't say. I did not say that they don't spend enough time in the church. I said in the scriptures. Of course, people don't spend enough time in the church either. But right now I'm talking about the scriptures. Because, see, the scriptures are not limited to the church. See, a lot of times people don't even get into the scriptures until they are in church. And then when they leave the church, they go home and throw the book on the side. And don't see it again until the next time it's time to go to church. How many of you know we need to spend time in the scriptures? We need to spend some extra time. People say, I need some me time. Guess what? That's your me time. In the scriptures. You know, because the only way that I will know who God is, the only way that I will know who Jesus is, the only way I'll know who the Holy Spirit is I must get into the scriptures. That's why people say the Holy Spirit told me this. No, the Holy Spirit didn't tell you nothing. You told yourself. Or some man of God, a woman of God, or somebody with a title told you. And because they told you, you think that's, you know, you need to get confirmation from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit don't speak to people. He speaks to people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he can't speak. But many people say the Holy Spirit told me to do it. And they do this. And then it don't work. And then, well, no, he told me to do that. Well, what did he tell you to do? People go to different locations. Holy Spirit told me to go over here. They're over there. All of a sudden, they're gone. Well, he told me to go back there. No, I thought you said he told you to go over here. Well, that's because they don't know how he works, how he operates. The same way they don't know who God is. And if they don't know, do not know who God is, they will not put their trust in him. Y'all still with me? Listen to this. I believe that many of us, and my time is just flying, many of us, you know, when we were growing up, you know, young, many of us had a big brother or a big sister. Anybody? Anybody? Amen. And or somebody big in your family. Amen. And you would go around talking smack to people. Talking smack. Because you know that if they tried to hurt you, you will call your big brother or your big sister. In other words, you had confidence and trust that whatever that person did to you, your big brother or big sister will take up for you. Well, if your big brother and your big sister will take up for you, how much more would our Heavenly Father take up for us if we put our trust in him? How much more? See? Because he's bigger than our big brother. He's bigger than our big sister. That's why we need to spend time in the scripture to see God for who he is. Because if we do not see him for who he is, we will limit him, and then our troubles will always have troubles. Our worries will have worries. Why? Because of doubt, the disease. Amen? I want you to go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 17. If you're looking for a title for today's message, it's called Receiving Blessings Through Trust. If you want to, you can put in parentheses in God. Receiving blessings through trust. See, I trusted that my big brothers would take up for me. Because I knew them. I had a good relationship with them. Because I spent time with them. So I knew who they were. But many people do not trust God because they really don't know him. They know of him, but they don't know him. Because if they really knew him, they would not stay up all night worrying about things. They would trust in the Lord. And they would cast that worry on him. And the same thing was going on in Acts. And Paul had to get some people straight because they didn't know who God is. And he said, let me remind you of something. I need to remind you of who God is. Are you at Acts yet? Chapter 17, right? Look at verse number 22. The Bible says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, he said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. How many of you know the lack of trust in God caused people to be superstitious? They used to tell me when I was young, don't let the black cat cross you. The black cat cross you. You have. How many of those superstitious Christians? You better care. Listen, superstition is witchcraft. I want you to know that. Walking in the street. Hold on. No, don't walk around that pole. You walk around that pole, you'll have. That pole better get out of my way. Y'all still with me? Then Paul said to Mr. Mars Hill and said, "You men of atheists, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." He says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown who? God." Do y'all see that? And many people see God as unknown. They know he's God. He sits on the throne. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient because they hear somebody else say it. But they don't know how powerful he is. He says, whom therefore, oh, look at this, Christians. He said, the scripture of the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. In other words, you worship a God that you don't even know who he is. You just lift up your hand because the pastor said, lift up your hand. Not Christians, I'm talking just Christians in general all over the world. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What are you doing because somebody told us to do it? Say amen. Amen. What? People are worshiping the God, but they don't know the God that they're worshiping. Y'all still with me? He said, with whom you ignorant worship, him declare I unto you. He said, let me tell you about my God. Uh-oh. Boy, Paul, get ready to go on a road. He said, since you think he's unknown, let me tell you who he is. He said, because apparently you don't know because you have a big sign that say the unknown God. He said, let me tell you who it is. Now, we thought that when you text and you type and you put it in capital letters, that means you're yelling. We didn't make that up. It's right here in the Bible. To the unknown God. Is it in capital letters in your Bible? I say the world be trying to take something and think they may. Anyway, amen, amen. He said, let me tell you about the God I serve. Look what he said. Look at verse 24. He said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. How many of man make temples with hands? In other words, he's a natural. God is above the natural. He's God made the world. He don't live in a tent. And he's the Lord of heaven. He said, verse 25, neither is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he give it to all what? Life. And what? Breath. And what? All things. He's like, this is God. He said, I need to get y'all straight. I need to let you know who this person you call the unknown God is. And then he says, and hath made of one blood, hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Made of what? One what? What blood was that? Thank you. The blood of Jesus. Sent Jesus. Because he knew that we needed a Savior. So he sent his only begotten Son, who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. That's the kind of God we serve. And look what else he said here. He said, verse 26, and had made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So that they should seek the Lord. Here you go. So that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him. In other words, if you need him. If you confess the Lord, call him up. Call him up and tell him what you want or what you need. Are y'all still with me? He said, once again, he's close by. If they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, look at the next sentence. Though he be not far from every one of us. I told you God is not somewhere over the rainbow. He is closer to you than you think. He is closer to me than I think. He is closer to us than we think. All we have to do is when we're going through situations, things that are troubling us, to call on him. In other words, put our trust in him. And then he says here, for in him we do what? And do what? And have our what? Do you all see that? This is talking about the one they call an unknown God. That's why we need to know who he is. It's that in him we live. In other words, without life, without God, we have no life. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but have everlasting what? Without God, we have no life. In him we live and do what? Move. And have our what? Talk about God. The one that tells us to cast our cares on him. The one that tells us the advantages of putting our trust in him. And look what else he said. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. Then he says, for we are also his what? Offspring. That tells me that I am related to God. I'm his kinfolk. I'm his kin. That's what that word means in the Greek. If you look it up, it says offspring means kin. I'm related. And the reason why I'm related to God is because of the blood. Of the Lamb. Good God Almighty. I mean, you know, if we just stop and think sometimes, not that we don't, but we just think about the goodness of God. I mean, why do we think he say, I'll never see the righteous forsaken? Because he always supplies our need. See? But people don't know him. Because I am related to him by the blood. We're connected. I'm connected to the vine. And as long as I stay connected to the vine, I'm going to receive life, movement, and my being from the vine. And the vine has everything I need in order to be an overcomer, to be able to receive production so I can bless someone else. But see, once I allow the disease of doubt to cut me from the vine, I'm in trouble. I'm on my own. Because Jesus tells us in John chapter 5, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the master farmer. 15:5-15. Matter of fact, let's go there. John 5. You're connected by the blood of the Lamb. John 5. I'm sorry, 15. I keep saying 5. I don't know why I keep saying 5. 15, John 15. I'm glad we got people here who know, because people, some people in some church, pastor give a wrong scripture. Amen, pastor. No, amen. They say amen because they, amen. Chapter 15. We're related. Listen, we are related to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are related to the one who created the heavens and earth. What's hard for him? Nothing. Man, my time is moving on. Amen. Let me show you something. I'm almost done. God, amen. I got to get this. I got to go somewhere else. Amen. Because I'm not speaking next week. Here we go. Chapter 15, look at Jesus said. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. I'll discuss all this in another lesson. He said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. He said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. And for those that he was talking to who did not understand what he was saying, he broke it down for them. He says in verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Why? Because the fruit is coming from me, from him, he says. And then he says, for without me, you can do what? Nothing. Without him, I can do nothing. Without God, I can do nothing. That means that I must trust in God, because I can't do things myself. Because some things require, I said this a long time ago, divine intervention. I can't do it because I don't understand it. So I have to give it to the Creator. I have to give it to the one who created me. I have to give it to God. He says, cast it on me. He never said, try to handle it yourself. He said, cast it on me. But I would not cast it on him if I don't trust him. I would not trust him if I do not get to know him. That's why the song says, just to know him. Thank you. He's not a God of a book. He's bigger than the book. He's a big God. Think I'm joking? Ask Jordan. Are y'all still with me? I want to go over to Matthew chapter 17. And I'm going to close in this area. Never put faith in man. Never put it in yourself. And the reason for that is because we are limited. But how many of you know in Jesus Christ there is no limitation? In God there is no limitation. There's nothing too hard for him. See, we're limited because another reason why we of our limitations is because we doubt. When we don't understand something, then we are, there's no way that's going to happen. There's nothing too hard for God. Are y'all still with me? Look at Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, we see a situation here where something's going on and only Jesus can take care of it. The Bible says here, it says, verse 14, and when Jesus and the disciples were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and he is suffering. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire, and oftentimes he falleth into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, what that tells me there is this man is pretty smart, because he realized, number one, that he could heal the son. Because if he could heal him, he would have never went to the disciples. Number one. So you can't put your trust in yourself. Number two, he went to the disciples, then he realized the disciples couldn't heal him. So it means that you can't put your trust in no man. And Jesus said, oh, you faithless and perverse generation. Now, if I did not read any more of that scripture, that would tell me what the problem is. But Christians, due to the lack of scripture studying, they misinterpret this scripture. They misinterpret it. And I'm going to tell you where the misinterpretation comes from. Jesus said, you're faithless and perverse generation. He says, how long should I be with you? How long should I allow you? He said, bring the boy to me. The Bible says in verse 18, Jesus rebuked the devil. He rebuked who? How many know a lot of your situations is because you invite the devil into your life with doubt? Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then the disciples said to Jesus, after they took him away from everybody, Jesus, we need to talk to you. Let's go. I don't want to hear nobody else ask. You know, come over here. Because I don't want nobody else to see us asking you no questions. Because I want them to think that we Jesus, but we know we're not you. So let me just, like Christians do. We're not Jesus. We're just ambassadors for Christ. Y'all still with me? They said, Jesus, why could we not cast him out? I want you to skip down to verse 21. Because this is where this scripture is misinterpreted at. Jesus said in verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And a lot of people read that same story in Mark. And they will say, well, they couldn't cast him out because this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. So I need to pray and fast more. Misinterpretation of scripture due to the lack of studying. It had nothing to do with them casting out. They're fasting and praying. How many of you know people fast and pray all the time and they still doubt God? But let me tell you what the real problem was. Pastor, how do you know? Because the scripture tells us. Let's go back to the scripture. They said, Jesus, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your doubt. Because of your doubt. Because you have a disease, spiritual disease called doubt. And then he says, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith. So it tells me that doubt also affects your faith. As a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth out, not out, but by prayer and fasting. I'm going to explain it to you. My time is up, but I want you to go quickly to Mark chapter 9. See, people don't read this in Mark. In Matthew, they read it in Mark. And in Mark, Jesus isn't saying anything about unbelief, but I want to show you something here. And I'm going to close. Just give me about 2 more minutes. Mark 9. Because I got to get through this. Amen. Mark 9. Mark 9. Amen, amen, amen. Mark 9, let's go with verse 17. Amen. In Mark 9, 17, it's, you know, same thing going on. The dude's got, I believe it's the same boy, but here Mark goes a little bit into detail. Verse 18 says, and whenever he taketh him, he turned. Okay, verse 17, all right, okay. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, and he has a dumb spirit. How many of all Satan's spirits are dumb? Amen. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not do it. Jesus said again, you old faithless generation. And then in verse 20, and they brought him unto Jesus. And when he saw him, the spirit tore him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long has it been since he had it? And the guy said he was born that way. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire, into the water. Look at what Jesus said in verse 23. He says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, which is the second step to faith, he says, all things are possible to him that believeth, that all things are possible in God. If I believe that God can deliver me, I'm going to put my trust in. The Bible says straightway the father of the child told Jesus, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And then the Bible says that Jesus cast the demon out of him. And then in verse 28, it says, and when he was come into the house, his disciple asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Christian, listen, I'm closing. Jesus is not talking about, he cannot cast him out because of fasting and praying. What he is saying here is that when you spend time fasting, when you spend time praying, you are developing a closer relationship with God. You're getting to know God. And the more you know God, you will know that nothing is impossible for God. So whatever decision that you find yourself in, because you've been spending time in the Word, because you've been spending time praying, because you've been spending time in the Scriptures, because you have been spending time fasting, communicate with God, you get to know Him, and you will know that there's nothing too hard for Him, and that will give you the confidence in Him to put your trust in Him regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance. That's what that's talking about. That's what that's talking about. People, it won't come out about prayer and fasting. Well, you're praying and fasting, why do you still have problems? He's not talking about that. He's talking about trusting in God. Stand to your feet. I'm here to tell you, it does not matter what it is. It does not matter what the situation looks like. It doesn't matter what it smells like, tastes like, or touches like. God is God all by Himself. And regardless of what you're going through, or what you might go through, or what it looks like you might go through, we have to know that I have to trust in God. Some things we can't understand, trust in God. Because the Bible says when I put my trust in God, I'm like a tree planted by the water. And I'm able to stretch out, grow spiritually, stretch my territory. Why? Because I know that whatever I go through, God will deliver me. But if I want to continue to put my trust in myself and other men, I will fall. God did not create us to be losers. He created us to be winners. Amen. But God knows we can't win on our own. We need Him. And all He's telling us to do is trust me. When I tell you to do something, just trust me. When I tell you to go somewhere, just trust me. And not only just trust me, trust the Scriptures. Because I can't trust God without trusting the Scriptures. I can't trust the Scriptures without trusting God. Amen? Somebody give God a hand of praise because He's worthy.